Good morning and welcome to our worship service here at Grace Bible Church. Even though we are in our homes, we can join together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy, on this Palm Sunday. I want to draw your attention in our call to worship this morning to Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses as it gives the account in this passage of our Lord's entry into Jerusalem. And so I hope that you will follow along and listen carefully as we share this passage of Scripture from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and then followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Here in this passage, we see the entry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into Jerusalem to begin what theologians throughout the years have called the Passion Week of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting to me that the very minute details are included in all of the Gospels concerning our Lord's entry into Jerusalem. But what is even more startling to me is verse 11. And I want to leave you with this one thought. And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. What did they recognize him as? Well, they had cried out before, He is the highest. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. And now they say he is the prophet of Nazareth. They willingly accept the fact that this one from Nazareth is more than just the carpenter's son. But do they realize fully that he is the Messiah, the one who has come to deliver them from their sins? Well, it's very clear from what happens over the next few days in the Passion Week of Jesus Christ that they did not see him as the Savior of sinners. Rather, they saw him as someone who was an upstart, who did not follow through with their desires. And so we want to encourage you in this Passion Week to focus your heart and mind upon the Savior, that you and I might know Him, and that we might know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Dr. Watt is going to come now, and he's going to lead us in a song, number 43 in your hymn book, if you want to go ahead and turn there, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Let's sing this familiar hymn. Hopefully you know some of the words. We'll sing Crown Him with Many Crowns, the first verse, Crown Him the Lord of Life, especially as you come near our Easter celebration, and then crown him the Lord of heaven. Let's sing these three verses.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee. And hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who's triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing. Who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given, from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified.
Pastor's going to come lead us in prayer this morning.
Let's bow together for prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day in which we remember your arrival at the city of Jerusalem. To come not for the purposes of going to the palace and announcing yourself as the new king, but rather to go and to announce to the world that you had come to deliver this world from sin. Oh, how thankful we are for the cross work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. How thankful we are for His great love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, on this Sunday that you would calm our spirits, that you would focus our hearts upon Thee. It's so easy during this time to allow ourselves to be dominated by what's going on in the media, what's happening with the virus, and allowing ourselves to be troubled. We ask, dear Father, that you would help us to saturate our hearts and minds with your grace and with your mercy and with your word, that we might remain true to Thee, that we might cast all of our cares upon Thee, and that we might know the peace that passeth all understanding. Dear Father, we lift up before Thee today our missionaries, dear Lord, who are serving Thee all around the world. Many of them are being called upon to do ministry in a different way. And we pray, Father, that you would encourage them as they take up social media to conduct broadcasts for their people. We pray for those that are seeking to help by way of delivering food and also delivering the gospel to their friends and neighbors that are around them. We pray for them today that you would encourage them. And we think, Father, of those that are serving our nation here, those that are serving in hospitals, those of our police and our firefighters and EMTs and our military personnel. Many of them are called upon to do very dangerous things. And we would ask, dear Father, that you would be with them, that you would encourage them, that we might faithfully uphold them in prayer. And Father, we pray that not only would we have a thankful spirit for these folks that are on the front lines, but also that we would pray for them, and as we come in contact with them, to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask, dear Father, that as we continue with this service, that you would allow your word to move deeply into our hearts and minds, and that we might be strengthened through thy word, and that we might remember Thee, our wonderful Savior, and the true purpose of Your coming to this earth. And I pray that You would receive our praise and adoration, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We now want to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. If you have a hymn book, it's 117, but I believe a lot of you may remember the words to this. We'll sing the first verse, and then we'll sing the second verse, Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. And then we'll sing the last verse, Were the whole realm of nature mine. Let's sing the first, second, and last verses.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Amen. One of my favorite hymns from our hymn book, a tremendous blessing to the soul. Thank you, Dr. Watt, for those medley of hymns that tell us that the Lord Jesus does care for us and that He is concerned about us, that He loves us, and that His grace is sufficient. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, that is going to be our primary text today. I wanted to share with you the three times in the Gospel of Mark that the Lord Jesus Christ tells His disciples that He is going to go to Jerusalem, He is going to be killed, and He is going to rise again bodily from the dead. I want you to feel the force of this. So let's read all three of these, and I'm going to be in Mark chapter 8 to start with. I'm just going to choose one verse from each one of these sections in the book of Mark, and if you'll follow along and listen carefully as I share this, we're in verse 31 of Mark chapter 8. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. That's the first time that our Lord shares this. The second time in the book of Mark, He shares it is in Mark chapter 9 and verse 31 where we read, "For He taught His disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and after that He is killed, He shall rise the third day." And then finally in Mark chapter 10, verses 33 through 34, we read, "Saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. You know, the great central fact of history is the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth to do one thing, and that was to go to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood to pay the price for our sin debt. Not his, because he was the sinless Son of God, but to pay our sin debt. This is the single greatest central fact of history. Now, one thing is very clear in the book of Mark, that what this event is describing is very important to him, that is Mark, who wrote under the pen of inspiration, but also it's important to Jesus Christ. There are at least four things that stand out in each of the foretellings of Jesus' suffering. Number one is that he is going to die. Number two, this death is intentional. He intends for it to happen. He means for it to happen, and he is not running from it, but rather he is walking toward it. Number three, it will not be suicide, it will be murder. You'll find this in the book of Mark, that he uses the expression to be killed over and over again. And the murderers are mentioned in the text that we read in Mark chapter 10. And then fourthly, he will rise bodily from the dead. Not at some uncertain time in the future like us, but precisely in 3 days. His death is appointed and his resurrection is appointed. They will happen on schedule as God has laid out in his word. Now, what is not mentioned in any of these texts is this. Why? Why is this going to happen? Mark gives us the clearest statement of that after the three predictions, and that's found in verse 45 of Mark chapter 10, where we read, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, we dealt with this particular expression when Dr. Watt was doing his series relative to the New Calvinism. And they use this verse of Scripture saying, see there, he only died for the elect. But I think it's very clear from when you put all the Scriptures together that this expression, a ransom for many, has the idea that there are not all that are going to take advantage of the ransom that has been paid. And I'm going to say more about that. This is the great central fact of history and for our lives. Jesus, the Son of Man, the exalted human, divine Son of God, came, was sent by God the Father to give His life as a ransom for many. God can ransom what man cannot. Our sin had, as it were, kidnapped us and put us in prison of our own making, far from God, in the chains of iniquity, under God's holy wrath, and powerless to free ourselves. One of the images the Bible uses for our liberation is ransom. A ransom had to be paid. But listen to Psalm 49, verses 7 through 8. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. In other words, no mere man can ransom another man's soul. And you and I cannot ransom our own souls. Listen to verse 15 of Psalm 49. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. And then we have that Hebrew word, selah, at the very end, which means pause, take a breath before you move on to the next verse, and meditate on what you have just read. What is he saying? He is saying that man cannot save himself or others. God can and will through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to see God's loving plan here. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. And this is all God's idea. It's not the Father against the Son, it's the Father through the Son that is going to bring deliverance to lost sinners. What God means us to see in this plan is His love expressed for us. Now watch how Mark brings out that fact in verses 32 through 33 of Mark chapter 8. Now listen as I read. And He spake that saying openly, and Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. Now think for just a moment here. Peter is upset by these words that Jesus had just said about going and having to suffer and being killed, and after that, 3 days rising. And so Peter comes and he expresses himself to Him in rebuking Him. I found a very interesting statement by William Kelly, who was a Bible scholar in the 1800s. And this is what he had to say about this particular verse, and I think it's very, very important to share with you. What was it that so roused our Lord against Peter's rebuke? The very snare to which we are all so exposed. The desire of saving self. The preference of an easy path to the cross. It is true that we naturally like to escape trial, shame, and rejection. That we shrink from the suffering which doing God's will in such a world as this must ever entail. That we prefer to have a quiet, respectable path in the earth. In short, the best of both worlds. How easily one may be ensnared into this. Peter could not understand why the Messiah should go through all this path of sorrow and suffering. Had we been there, we might have said or thought yet worse. Peter's remonstrance was not without strong human affection. He heartily loved the Savior too. But unknown to himself, there was the unjudged spirit of the world within him. That spirit of trying to escape from sorrow and suffering, to try to have the best of both worlds. Our Lord rebuked Peter. And in verse 33 we read, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Peter, if you resist my plan to die, you are resisting God the Father and His purposes. You are unknowingly siding with Satan against God. Satan doesn't want me dead, Jesus is saying, because he wants sinners in hell. Satan wants me, Jesus is saying, to bow down and worship him and jump off the temple and turn stones into bread for self-preservation purposes. The last thing he wants is for me to be a ransom paid for lost sinners. However, that's what God wants, Peter, because he loves you. My coming to die as your ransom is the love of God expressed beyond measure. Are you among the many? Now here is the question, the key question, I think, of application to us today. Are you among the many? Mark 10:45 says, "The Son of Man came to give His life as a ransom for many." Are you ransomed this morning? Have you been set free from the bondage of sin and guilt and condemnation and wrath? That's what the rest of verses 34 through 38 are all about. Who are the ransomed? Are you one of them? You can be. Verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The ransom follow Jesus Christ, even though it means self-denial and cross-bearing. If you trust and treasure Jesus Christ enough to follow him, even when it is costly, you are ransomed. Now, it's interesting to me that there are four fours that appear here. Notice something striking. The next four verses, verses 35 through 38, all begin with the word for, and that is accurate. And for usually means because. So, in each of these four statements, Jesus is giving a reason or a basis or a foundation for what goes before. Now, you can say the same sequence in reverse order and use therefores in place for the fours, and it has the same meaning. So let's read the sequence of Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38 in reverse order this way. So we're going to start at verse 38 with a therefore, and we're going to work our way backward to verse 34 very quickly as I share these four fours and some of the thoughts that we find here concerning the need for the cross. Therefore, verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now let's get the meaning clear before we make the connection. What's the opposite of being ashamed of somebody? Well, it's to be proud of them, to embrace them, to admire them, to identify with them. That's the message here. Now, who are we lined up with? Well, if you line up with the goats instead of the sheep, you're not ransomed. So Jesus is saying, if you are ashamed of me and the price I paid for you, and he's not referring to lapses of courage that you and I may have when we don't share the gospel or we're not a testimony to our neighbor, but rather a settled state of your heart and mind against him. If you're not proud of the Lord Jesus, you are saying this, I am aligned with the goats and not with the sheep. I prefer the value of my reputation with the goat herd more than I value my reputation with the sheep. That then is a statement of the fact that we are not ransomed. Let's go to the next verse. Therefore, in verse 37, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a statement concealed in a question. That's what's the statement that's made? Therefore, there's not anything that you can give in return for your soul. If you're not proud of the ransom that Jesus Christ has paid for your soul, then you're not part of the ransomed. Let's go to verse 36 as we continue to move upward. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's another question that's making a statement. Namely, if you gain the whole world by valuing it above the Lord Jesus Christ, by being prouder of it than of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not be able to save you in the end. There is nothing you can pay for your soul when you have scorned the ransom paid by Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 36, gaining the whole world will be of no use to you, none whatsoever. We go to verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. In other words, since being ashamed of the ransom that Jesus Christ paid cuts you off from verse 38, so that there is no ransom that can be paid for your soul, verse 37, not even if you've gained the whole world, verse 36, therefore you will have your life forever if you treasure me enough to lose it for my sake. And that brings us to verse 34. One last step, another therefore. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, treasure me. Count me as more precious than your own comfort, your well-being, your entertainment, and your own safety. The opposite of self-denial is self-gratification. And the opposite of cross-bearing is self-preservation. During this time apart, as a church family, meeting in our own homes by way of Facebook Live, are you treasuring Jesus Christ more than your comfort and even your own safety? During this time, is it more important to you to spend time with Jesus Christ than it is with your social media and with talking on the phone with friends? Do you value your time with Jesus Christ more? If you are more concerned for your safety and more concerned for your comfort, you're not cross-bearing and you are not treasuring Christ. Rather, we should be like the Apostle Paul who said in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this time together today. Lord, this passage that we have read is so rich because it lays out so importantly the need for the cross, the need to have a ransom paid, a payment that no man, woman, or child could ever make for their own soul. It required the payment of someone who was perfect, someone who was without sin, someone whose blood shed would be efficacious to redeem us from our iniquitous state. Lord, I pray today on this Palm Sunday that we might understand the need for the cross. And I pray that if there's one that is listening this morning who's more concerned about their comfort and their safety and their security more than they are valuing the ransom that was paid for them and valuing Jesus Christ, the one who paid it, I pray that today you would work in their hearts and draw them unto yourself. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dr. Watt is going to come and lead us in another song as we close our service today.
We'll finish with Hallelujah, What a Savior, a very familiar hymn as we meditate upon what our Lord has done for us.
Men of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Father, we thank you for the time we've had this morning with our church family and for the message as we meditated upon the ransom of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for us. Now, Lord, I ask that you bless each family. May we be faithful to remember each other in prayer, to look through these requests, Father, and to uphold each other during this time. But also, Lord, to not focus on ourselves, but to lose our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Lord, bless each one of you.